to thee, even though it be a cross that raiseth me. Still all my song shall be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Though like the wanderer, the sun gone down, darkness be over me, my rest a storm. Yet in my dreams I'd be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. There let the way appear, steps unto heaven, all that thou sendest me in mercy give. Angels to beckon me nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Then with my waking thoughts bright with thy praise, out of my stony griefs Bethel I raise. So by my woes to be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Or if on joyful wing cleaving the sky, sun, moon, and stars forgot, upward I fly. Still all my song shall be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Still all my song shall be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee.
Well, amen. Once again, just want to say thank you for the opportunity tonight. We won't be long tonight. I'll try to stay under 3 hours for us tonight. And I actually have, if I could share with you, two blessings that I'm able to share with you today. The first thing is, I mentioned Monday night that my kids were able to open up their gifts before services. Well, I finally got permission from my wife to open up my gifts. And I want to say once again, thank you for those gifts. And more serious note, we just got our call from our realtor. We've been praying that our house would sail, obviously, to be able to go into the mission field and those things. And we got a call from our realtor today saying that the people that were looking at it today said they were trying to sell their house and they're fixing to go underneath contract. And if their contract goes through and everything, then they're actually going to make a cash offer on our house. And so that's a blessing. And we got to wait and be patient with that. And we just got to see, obviously, if it's the Lord's will. If not, then we're still going to, you know, pray that whoever will buy it, obviously, it's the Lord's will. Amen. So you pray with us on that. And that'd be a big blessing for us. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter number 16 tonight. Matthew chapter 16, we're going to read verses 13 down through verse number 24 for our reading for our passage tonight. Matthew chapter 16. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Amen.
Amen.
I would much rather be here than any other place is to be in His house. The Bible says in Matthew 16, starting with verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And amen, we do serve a living God.
Amen.
Verse 17, the Bible says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged He His disciples that they should tell no man that He was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him. Imagine that, rebuking our Lord and Savior. Saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But He turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto His disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me." We'll continue reading on further. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his work. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom." We're really going to deal with the verse 24, but deal with the whole passage where it says there, "Then says Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, I just want to say thank you once again for another opportunity. Another opportunity to hear your word. Another opportunity, Lord, to be able to be taught. And Lord, to be better for you. Father, I pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to have free reign about this place. Lord, I pray that you would use, Lord, your messenger tonight. Lord, that I would submit to your will that would be done tonight. Lord, we want to give you the praise and glory in it all already, Lord. And expect great things from you. Not that we're trying to order you around, but Lord, knowing who you are and want to meet with us, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would do so. That you would find that comfortable spot here to be able to speak to our hearts. Father, as a matter of missions, Lord, I pray that you would help us and have that burden for lost souls. Not only to give financially, but Lord, to give of ourselves as a body that's sacrificed, Lord, for you and for others. Meet with us now. I pray in these things, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated at this time. In this passage here, you see Jesus talking to His disciples, and really the most important part in this whole passage here is at the very beginning when He began to ask them, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And of course, they began to say what others thought of who He was, Elias, and some of a prophet. But then He gets a little bit more personal with them and says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And really, that's what salvation is all about. It's not about what others say for you. It's not about what others saying that, you know, a lot of times parents will sit there and say that, you know, "Well, my child is saved because I led them or I did this for them." No, it's a matter of a personal relationship with you and your children or whoever it is with Jesus Christ. And He began to ask them specifically unto them, "Who do you say that I am?" And they would sit there and say, well, you are Jesus the Christ. You are the one to come. You're the one to come and to save this whole world, to give an opportunity to shed his blood. And Jesus began to tell them that the only way that you're able to know this is through my Father. And there is an assurance through the Holy Spirit to be able to tell us that we are his. Amen. God didn't have to owe us that, but he gives us that assurance in knowing that we are his. And scriptures teach us those things as well, that we can be assured of our salvation. We can be assured that we are the Son of God. And he was telling them this. Who do you say that I am? And they said, well, you're Jesus Christ. And he said, the Father's the one that told you that. No other man told you that. No prophet. No, none of your parents, but the Father's the one that told you that. I would ask this question, even though we're going to be dealing with missions tonight, but I would start off asking this question, are you saved tonight? You can know that of salvation. You can know for sure that you're saved through the Holy Spirit testifying of himself in your life. And if not, why not? Why not come to him and be saved? The one that, as he begins to show them here in verse 21, what he did through so many things that he went through to the road to Calvary. He went through the mockings. He went through the beatings and everything. He did that for you and I. Why not come to him because of his love for you and I? Amen. Goes on to tell them that. In verse 21, he began to explain unto them and show unto his disciples. It says that how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. That's the gospel right there. Is what Jesus Christ did for you and I, that he was beaten as it was told in the Old Testament. He went to Calvary. He shed his blood for you and I. He went to take that blood up, and he sacrificed himself for you and I. He was buried and he rose again the third day. Amen. Amen. Right. Why? Because he loved you. Love me. And there's not a particular person in this world. We've talked about before during the fellowship time at dinner table. And there's so many people think that God chooses those to go to heaven and those to go to hell. And God loves everyone. There is no choosing. He said, I want all to come to repentance. I want all to live with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Love will always produce action. Love will always be shown in action. And that's exactly what God did. He loved you and I, and the action came forth in Jesus Christ going to the cross for you and I. But he began to keep on talking here and showing Peter, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, that, listen, this is not going to happen. And we began to sometimes look at Peter and think, wow, you're going to rebuke Christ? But listen, I would not want my Savior to have to go through that. We don't know what Peter was feeling here, and a good friend of Peter, a savior to him, and the one that made him a disciple, trained him, and had a loving spirit towards him and cared for him. We don't know what Peter's emotions were going through. We might have sat there and said, oh no, Lord, you're not going to do that. But Jesus said, it's not a matter of what you think. It's not a matter of circumstances or your emotions. This is what's got to take place. Peter, you're not thinking straight right now. And he got his mind and his focus back where it needed to be. And he said, listen, get thee behind me, Satan. This is what's got to happen. This is what's got to happen in order for the victory to be won, which is through Jesus Christ. This is what's got to happen for others to be able to be saved through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Peter was not thinking of what was to take place and his whole perspective of that. He was more so thinking of his motions and more so thinking of himself instead of looking at what was the plan and purpose of Christ going to that cross. And then in verse 24, he begins to tell his disciples, it says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And we won't read the other verses at the moment. But he begins to tell them what he's going to go through to be able to give opportunity to the lost to be saved. He's telling them what he's have to go through for you and I because he loves you and I. And then he goes on to tell the disciples, if any man will come after me, if any man will follow after me and what I am doing and the goal and the purpose of this cross, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I want to ask this question tonight, and it would be the title of this message, what are you willing to go through for others? What are you willing to go through for others? If you'll look down the passing of time and seeing even in the church age or in the age of what, you know, Paul's day and those things, that how they would be persecuted, how they would be in the upper room because of what was going on, and even during Jesus' time, how that they were being mocked, they were being persecuted then. And then you go on a little further about those that would sit there and hold truth to the Bible and that they were burned at the stakes. They went through that for a reason. They went through that and sacrificed themselves for a reason. Why? Well, ultimately, it would be because of the love of God, the love of the one that changed their life. But to be able to hold truth to the very Word of God in order for it to be to pass down, in order for themselves to be a testimony unto others so that others can be saved as well. Too many times we think that we're persecuted, but I don't believe we've gone through anything like what our forefathers have gone through, what Christ has gone through. But even with that, Jesus said, if any man is going to come after me, if any man is going to follow that pattern of going to the cross, he said, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I believe there's a choice here at the very beginning. He says, if any man will come after me, God is not going to sit there and force us to give unto missions. God's not going to sit there and force us to go out and witness. It's a decision that we have to make. Now, he's going to speak to our hearts as he has through this missions conference, and I'm sure many other messages that have been preached here before. He's going to give us an opportunity to submit to that, but he wants everybody to be able to make that decision to share what's been given to us. How selfish it is of us to be able to have that light that's been given to us, the gospel that changed our life, and not share it unto others. That would be a selfish part on our part not to share unto others. You know, we can sit there and say, well, what's our purpose in life? And listen, we're here at the church, Calvary Baptist Church, to be able to worship our Savior. We can do that in heaven. We sit there and read God's Word and be able to understand those things. We can do that in heaven. Not to say that that's not important, but the main objective for you and I is to be able to go out into this world and win the lost. Can't do that in heaven. Can't do that in heaven. God's got us here for a reason. God's got a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us specifically. He said, if any man... Now, there was a commission given unto the church, but even in that, we mentioned that Monday night, that each individual makes up that body or makes up that church, individual church. He said, if any man will come after me, you have to make that choice to follow after the pattern of what Christ did. The greatest pattern to live by in missions is what Christ did. Amen? We can sit there and lift up Paul. We can sit there and lift up many men in the Bible. But we can really, truly get down to the nitty-gritty. We would sit there and say that Christ was the one that did it all. Christ was the one that we ought to follow. And He's asking us to follow Him here. To follow after Him. It's a personal choice that we have to make. But I like as he continues on, it's not necessarily just the choice. If we choose, yes, I will follow after you. Yes, I will go just as you did. The whole purpose and goal as he's going up to the cross is so that others might be saved. And that ought to be our purpose and goal. It's to take up our cross as he's asking, why? So that we can give others an opportunity to hear the gospel. So that we can go to Papua New Guinea and tell them the good news. Go to Russia, go to Australia and let them hear the good news of what Christ did for them. But he goes, he's saying something here. It says, and take up his cross and follow me. What about that cross? There was a purpose in that cross. What was all about the cross? It's where my Savior died. It's where my Savior shed his blood. It's where my Savior sacrificed and did all for you and I to be able to one day go to heaven. He did those things. There was a purpose in that. He took up his cross and he went and did those things for me. Because why? Because he loved and cared for me. That Bible saying here that take up your cross. There's a purpose in each and every one of our cross. Why? To be able to love and care for others. To give them an opportunity. To give them the gospel. You might say, well, I'm not able to go into a foreign land. But you can be able to give sacrificially, financially, materially to others to be able to go. We need those to witness here, but we, in a sense, we need a base here as well to help support those that will
go into the uttermost part of the world to reach others, to give them an opportunity. Take up his cross and follow. The purpose was not to sit there and to gain anything for himself. Christ did not sit there and go to the cross for himself. He did not go to the cross so that he can just be seen of men of something that he did good. No, it wasn't about himself, even though it was all about himself. He went there for you. And even on that cross, there was no anger towards us. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is your cross, of taking up your cross, of giving to missions, are we just doing that just to get a tax write-off? Are we doing that to sit there and say, look what I did? Did you see that I gave unto missions? Did you see how much I gave? We heard about it last night. It's not a matter of how much I gave. It's not a matter of see what I did. It's a matter of following what God wants us to give. It's a matter of doing those things. Why? Because of those out there, the lost, the love. Love will always be shown in action. Giving is not about me. It's not about what I can receive. It's not about let everybody see me of giving. Our heart ought to be because I love others. I love this world. The Bible says love your enemies. You know how hard that is to do? God really spoke to my heart about that verse, and I've always looked at it, and you know, sometimes there's people I just don't like because of, you know, just the way they are and everything, and I obviously not to be that way. But God looked down upon me and said, you know what? That verse is not what you think it is. Too many times we create the enemy. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Enemies are not to be somebody we create. Oh, I just don't like you because you go hunting and I don't really care for hunting. Okay? I just lost everybody right there that hunts. I can see faces. It's like, I said I'm not creating enemies, okay? All right, if everybody would stand, we're going to have an invitation time. And I'm going to be the first one down at the altar. But we're not to create the enemy. We're not to look at others and think that we're higher than them. Or think that we're better than them. Hey, we used to be in that same boat. Hey, we're still in this wicked, wicked body. We're still in this flesh. We make mistakes. We make failures. We sin as well as they do. The only thing different is that we have Christ. Amen. And the thing that they need is what we have, and we should be willing to give it to them. Amen. Enemies is the fact of them disagreeing with us, not for us to make the enemy. Love your enemies. Love those ones that are against you. Love those ones that will slam the door in your face. Love those ones that will curse you. Listen, what did my Christ, my Jesus, go through for you and I? He was not believed. You're going to go through some times where you're going to be witnessing to people and they're not going to believe you. But Jesus said, I'm still going through with this. Why? Because he loved them. He gave them an opportunity. They sat there and wanted to kill him. There's many times he walked through a group and they didn't even know he walked through. It wasn't his time. But Jesus was there at the perfect time. He knew the timing. He knew what would go on. He knew what would happen. And yet he still did it. He sacrificed himself, you could say, for missions. Listen, you're going to go through some things. That cross that you're going to pick up, you're going to go through some things. God even promised that we're going to go through some persecutions, which I believe we have not gone through that as much as we think we have. I knocked on a door and I broke a nail. That's persecution. No, come on now. Come on. I believe that's why people don't really give or don't really go door knocking and those things, because they're worried about their convenience. Can you imagine if my Lord worried about his convenience? The Bible says that he didn't have a place to lay his head. The Bible says that he hungered. He was tempted. He was left alone. He was betrayed. Can you imagine what would happen if he went off of convenience? You and I would have any hope. Missions is not about convenience. Missions is not about, Lord, what would you have me to give? Oh, that's a little more than what I was expecting, but I'll just give what I gave last year. And I'm not telling you what it is God's speaking to you about. I think a lot of times we don't go by faith, but we go by convenience. What are we willing to go through? What are we willing to sacrifice? Just like my Savior did.
What are we willing to give up? You know, it goes on into those next verses. It says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" What does this world have to offer to us that's far better and more important than a lost soul? What's this world got to offer compared to that? Pleasures and those things, and I'm not saying those things has its places, but I find it amazing that people say, "Well, I can't give and I can't do this," and they're going out to these football games and they're going out and doing this and doing that and these hobbies. And maybe we need to sacrifice some things, just as my Savior did, of His pleasures and of conveniences. For what? For the love of the lost, for the care of this world. Maybe we need to give up some things or invest in better things, which obviously the better thing would be a lost soul. It says, "Take up his cross and follow me." I always like to imagine or picture things in the Bible, and I imagine this cross just laying here, and it's specifically for you. Take up his cross. And I believe we're seeing too many going by and saying, "Nah, that's going to be too hard. I can't do that." And walk by. No, my Savior took that cross all the way. Went through what He went through. Went to that cross. And died for you and me. Not only died, but rose.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And gained the victory for you and I.
Amen.
There's a purpose in that cross, of taking up that cross. Listen, we ought not to look at it as, "Oh, there's hardship in it." Yes, there'll be hardship. Yes, there'll be labor. "Oh, I'm going to have to give up some things. I'm going to have to lose some friends." And we ought to lose some of those that are not in accordance with what the Bible would teach, that we ought to sit there and separate ourselves and come out from among them. But we ought to sit there and not look at that and look at the cross as there's an opportunity of what lies ahead. There's a victory there in the future. And there's an opportunity for lost souls to be saved. Take up that cross. There's a purpose in that cross. Listen, you're going to have to face some pressures. And that's what deals with that cross. There's some pressures. But not only is it with the cross, He said, "And follow me." You want to know how to give unto missions? You want to know how to witness? He said, "Follow me." There's a way about going about it. It's not a 1, 2, 3 step. Okay, this is what I'm going to be done. I got step 1 done, step 2 done, step 3 done. Everybody is not the same. You're not going to go to this door and speak to them and then go to this next door and think you have it all planned out because this is the way it was this one. It's not that way. How did Jesus do it? He sat down with the sinners. He was a people person. And I believe we can use technology today for its purpose and encouragement and all those things. But when's the last time we sat down with someone and shared our testimony? When's the last time we got face to face with someone? And said, "Hey, have you heard about what my Savior did in my life?" When's the last time we sacrificed our time to spend some time with someone else? And I'm not talking about compromising our ways, don't get me wrong. But sacrificed our time to be able to go out and witness, to be able to talk to a coworker and to sit down with them and do Bible studies with them. But most importantly, I seriously want to ask this question. When's the last time you actually shared your testimony? When's the last time you shared the gospel? Listen, I'm at fault as well. "Well, Brother Riley, I haven't done that in 2 months." Why? Why? "Well, I've been too busy. I haven't been able to." Convenience. Convenience. When we start looking at this world, at the lost, like Christ looked, that was His main goal when He came down to earth in those 3.5 years. He built His church, He cared, He did those miracles, He fulfilled Scripture, but He came to shed His blood, and that didn't deter the will of the Father. "I'm going to do this. This is my appointed time, and I'm going to do it." You ever thought that? And we, like I said, we mentioned this before. You at your job, you at your school, your neighbor, that God put you in this specific time for a reason. Generations before, Paul in his day, our forefathers in their days, God had you here in this generation for a reason. Let's use it. Let's use ourselves.
let's use ourselves in this generation and follow me. God had an appointed time for Christ. Jesus was there for that appointed time. And a matter of fact, it goes on to, in the Scriptures teaching that Jesus went through with them and he wasn't caught, he wasn't taken up because it wasn't his time yet. But when it came time, he willingly gave himself up and said, this is my time. God, I'm willing to do whatever. He humbled himself before the will of the Father. Will we, when it's our time, humble ourselves before the will of the Father? Well, Brother Riley, I can't do those things. Well, I'm glad you said that, because at the very end of the verse, just one word. It's amazing, the Word of God. So powerful in itself and just in this verse. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow who? Me. Who's that speaking of? Speaking of Jesus. Brother Riley, I can't do this. Jesus said, follow me. You can do that. There's power. Brother Riley, I can't give this amount. Jesus said, follow me. Matter of fact, if he's speaking to you and he also gave you that income, how could we ever say, I can't give that amount, God? It's like we're saying, I can't give you back your money you gave to me. I can't do that. God says, oh, yes, you can. Well, I can't see it in the numbers right here. That's why it's by faith. That's why it's by faith. God can give you the power to do so. There was power in Jesus Christ. There was power of Him going to the cross, and there was power through Him of raising again the third day. He'll give you power to do things, to be a witness, to give in missions, to be able to give exactly what He's asking you to give. Each one has their own, I'm sure, amount in those things that God is speaking to you about. But He'll give you that ability to do so. You might not be able to see it now, but He'll be able to. And follow me. At the middle of the verse, we kind of put that to the side, and I did this for a reason. It's amazing how at the very center of this verse, the Bible says, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. I believe too many times we're putting ourselves in the center. In the center. You say, what do you mean? It's all about me. We mentioned it. My convenience. My way. My abilities. And we look at me. Instead of looking at ahead at the path that lies before us and taking up that cross. It's amazing, at the very center of the verse, he says, let him deny himself. You know how you're going to be able to give and love and be a witness yourself? You're going to have to get rid of yourself. Deny yourself. What did Paul say? I had to die daily. To what? Myself. My way. My thoughts. My plans. My goals. You may have goals and dreams right now. Oh, I plan to be this, and I plan to be that. Does it line up with God? Is that what God wants? God said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. But I believe those desires will fall in line with what He wants out of your life. Let Him deny Himself. Don't worry about the conveniences, taking up that cross and doing what God asked us to do, to love, and maybe go through some things. What are you willing to go through? What are you willing to give up? Maybe there are some things you know right now that's in your life that, you know what, Brother Riley, I can give up this and I can give up that to be able to give more. I can be able to not go to this and not go to that to be able to be a witness. Denying yourself. God's asking you to follow Him. God's asking you to be the light of this world. Can you imagine everybody in this auditorium, a part of this membership of this church, would share that light? Be that light upon that hill to shine unto this community and maybe even other communities. Unto the ones that would come in and come out there in the military. Only imagine what God could do as a whole. But it starts off with, as Jesus said, if any man will do this, if any man will come after me. So I ask tonight, what are you willing to go through? What are you willing to give up? He said, listen, What are you going to gain with the world and lose your own soul? What does this world have to offer? Those pleasures, those temporary pleasures, those games, those entertainment, the things in the home that just for a 30-minute show that I'm wanting to watch every single week, to be able to pay for a subscription to watch it. What's that compared to a lost soul? What's the value of that compared to, and I love it, obviously the Lord knew, the value of one as it was mentioned. What are you willing to give up for that value of one? What are you willing to go through in your life? Jesus said, you're going to have to give up some things. But most importantly, you're going to have to give up and deny yourself and follow me. I will help you. Listen, I did this for you. I loved you. I cared for you. And shed my blood for you. The Bible even talks about that those that would not pick up their cross and follow him, that are not worthy of him. That's a bold statement from the Lord. So I ask, what are you willing to go through? Let's stand.